Super Scoreboard. The Old Firm through the decades.
Some call it the greatest derby in the world. It is certainly the game that divides a country. When Celtic play Rangers, Scotland holds its breath.
It's life or death to Celtic Rangers fans.
Would you have signed for Celtic?
No.
Would you, Peter, have signed for Rangers?
No chance. Absolutely not.
Henrik was, I call him a freak of nature. You know, 242 goals in 315 games. You know, that is just freakish.
For me, it's the best Rangers team of all time that we were up against, and that's the biggest compliment I can pay those guys.
When you walk in the doors, there's a special aura.
When Graham left, David Murray actually just said, "What do we need here?" And we all said straight away, "It's that man there."
Our challenge when Graham came in was to put Celtic off the top of the league.
I don't care who we lose at me. See if you win a sign for us, you can't lose at me, Rangers. I'd have gave him the world. Signed for us.
The Old Firm is beyond anything I've experienced and ever seen and all that as well, and you don't know how it is until you actually experience it yourself.
Each family hands down the mantle of supporting their particular team, and that'll carry on forever.
Super Scoreboard. The Old Firm through the decades. 0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European action. Celtic are underway in Lille with Scott Brown recalled to the side and Odson Edouard back on the bench. Rangers' next test of their good form is the visit of Lech Poznan later, and St Mirren will face a disciplinary hearing for alleged coronavirus breaches. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, another big night, Gordon, in Europe for Celtic and Rangers, and it's already underway in France. The game's coming thick and fast, and it's never an easy week for Neil Lennon and his side at the minute. Another big challenge, but 7 minutes gone. They've started okay, look relatively comfortable, and over to Ibrox later. What will Steven Gerrard do with his team? Can they continue their recent good form this season? You'd probably think so. Interesting night ahead.
Yeah, a very important night for both clubs. Obviously Celtic up and running just now. I think it's a bigger night for them, especially with recent results. A bit of criticism they've come in for. They've got a massive game semi-final against Aberdeen at the weekend. And then obviously over to Ibrox, and Rangers getting to that game strong favourites on the back of a good week, in the sense of the way they're playing, not conceding goals. And they'll be very confident of a victory tonight.
And just before we go any further, is it too soon for you to be giving him a hard time? Even you would feel a bit awkward doing that. Will you save that till at least 6:30?
I've not even got to mention it tonight. There you go.
I don't know. I think that makes me feel worse.
I think that's worse. He's taking pity on you.
What actually happened?
Nothing. Normal week.
Thursday night. Let's get the quiz out. See who's the first manager in Scotland to be sacked. I'll get that one.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Usual rules apply for a Europa League game. If you're watching it at the moment, why not watch it with us? You're shouting at the TV, come and shout at us instead. And of course, a more traditional build up for you Rangers fans. So all your usual pre-match thoughts. How confident are you feeling? Who should play tonight? Pick your team. Who would you like to see start? What about in the striking position, perhaps? Maybe there's a bit of debate there. Who should start up front for Rangers? So all the usual pre-match questions and thoughts, get them in. 0141 951 1025. And Celtic fans, we're only 10 minutes in. It is still goalless. What do you make of the start to the game? What do you make of the team that Neil Lennon has picked tonight? Because that's always a bit of a debating point, isn't it? Celtic line up with Scott Bain in goal. It's a back four of Jeremy Frimpong, Shane Duffy, Christopher Ayer and Diego Laxalt. The holding two, Scott Brown back in the starting 11 alongside Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, Olivier Ncham, Mohamed El-Younoussi and Ayeti up front. Significantly on the bench amongst the subs, and I won't name them all because there are loads of them, Odson Edouard. We've not seen him in a Celtic shirt in a while. He's on the bench tonight along with the likes of Griffiths and Turnbull and Rogic and Beaton. I won't run through them all. Like I say, there are loads. But let us know what you made of that team. 0141 951 1025. Mark Wilson, any complaints?
Well, I think that there could be arguments for a few of the positions, if I'm honest, especially the way some of the results and performances have been. I think still question marks hang over in Cham, and again he gets a nod from Neil Lennon. It shows you what trust the Celtic manager has in him. And we keep going on about how he is an outstanding footballer. I think he's yet to show it this season.
He started
he seems to get selected, you know, no matter how he plays the game before. So he looks a stick on. El Yunusi as well, you know, some Celtic fans thinking he could maybe contribute more. I know he wins a penalty on Sunday, but the overall game, but again, he starts. And a Yeti up front, you wonder what kind of service Celtic can get to him, because he is a penalty box striker. I don't know how much he gives you out with the penalty box. So probably question marks over them. The rest of them, pretty simple, I would say. But encouraging for Celtic, Neil Lennon and Celtic fans, that Griffiths, Edward, Beaton back in the bench. There's a full team, in fact. There's that many subs on the bench. But it does look a wee bit stronger, and looks like he's getting his unfit players back in and about the squad.
I think it's a big positive for Celtic tonight when they look at the bench. Getting all those players, well, at least on the bench, and maybe get some game time tonight. I know that Celtic would be desperate to win this game. They really need a result. They need something to start kicking themselves back into good form. But if they can come away with a really good performance and a positive with one or two or three or four subs coming on, I think it'd be a good night for Celtic.
Yeah, this is one for you too, but hopefully for the Celtic fans to elaborate on the phones. At a club like this, Mark, you want to win every game, and you certainly want to put in a good performance, but I wonder how much of tonight can be also about getting Celtic, and there's a big chance for Lille at the back post. Celtic scrambling to clear it. They've got men back in numbers. The shots are flying everywhere. Great save, Scott Bain. They just cannot get the ball clear, and eventually it goes out for a goal kick. I wonder how much of tonight, Mark, can also, not the priority, but also be about getting Celtic in a good place mentally and in personnel wise for the weekend.
Yeah, I'm with Daz. If they make some changes and get some minutes for Edward, probably Griffiths again, see a wee bit more of him, even Beaton. You know, when you go into Sunday with guys that have played some actual football, Neil Lennon's got a much bigger net to choose from. I think they would be pretty happy with that. But I think, you know, starting the way they have, 15 minutes, looking comfortable, looking confident, I think that'll put them in a good place as well. As long as they continue the 90 minutes like that. Now, if they go here and get absolutely walloped and they take a real soaring, obviously it's going to have that effect going into Sunday. So they want to avoid that at all costs. If they can do that and get some minutes in the guy's legs, then it's a positive for Neil Lennon tonight.
01419511025. What's on your mind tonight? Let's hear it on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. We do have a big game a bit closer to home later on. Rangers taking on Lech Poznan. Let's get our first preview of that one with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, it's an absolutely miserable night here, but I'm hoping that this is a game that there will be plenty happening on the pitch to get excited about, because Lech Poznan games don't tend to be dull. Both teams have scored in their last five matches, and Steven Gerrard says he's seen a real end-to-end sort of basketball style to their play, so there could well be plenty of goals in this one. Rangers looking to make it two wins from two in the group stage. That's actually the same amount of wins they had after six group stage matches last season when they progressed. They earned three draws as well, taking their total to 9 points for that campaign. They could already make it to 6 points tonight. They're obviously not doing a lot wrong as well at the moment. Seven wins on the bounce, four goals conceded through the whole of this season, and the quality doesn't appear to be dropping. Even when they make changes, you know, you look at the five changes they made at the weekend for Sunday's win, still managed to come away with a victory, and almost a fully fit squad for Steven Gerrard to pick from as well. Nikola Katic, he's still out. George Edmondson and Jordan Jones, they're not in the Europa League squad, along with Jermaine Defoe, of course, who started and scored at the weekend. So there definitely will be a change up front. Bongani Zungu is available for the first time. However, any appearance from him will likely be a very short one off the bench, if any at all. I'll bring in the full team news when it drops.
There we go, Rangers fans. Still time for you to predict your team news or get your wish list in. There will be a change up front because Jermaine Defoe is not in the Europa League squad. So do you go back to Morelos? Do you bring in Kemar Roof after his Europa League heroics? You tell us. 01419511025. We're about to speak to Ozzy on the line, but Lille have got a free kick in a dangerous position. Shane Duffy clattering into a tackle. He was booked for it as well. Any complaints, Mark Wilson?
No, not from me. He went right through the back of the Lille player, and Duffy gets up and says the usual, "I got the ball," but he wasn't anywhere near the ball. It's a dangerous one, this, for Celtic.
Yeah, it steps up with the left footed effort. It's a good one, and Scott Bain, somewhat in unorthodox fashion, gets it away, but he saves it nevertheless. One of those, Gordon, where the ball was kind of moving about. I'm not sure Bain wanted to take any chances. He just palms it away.
No, listen, if you're not comfortable with it, the first thing you do is get it out of play. And the goalkeeper's made a save. It's not the greatest I've ever seen. And I think Celtic have defended the corner well. So it was a right decision.
Why do goalies not use two hands nowadays?
Because that's a modern day goalkeeper, Mark. I always wondered why a goalkeeper dives to his left and his right hand's the furthest one that goes up. Because if you dive, have a look, right? If MD's watching this on
this
camera,
this doesn't work on radio. Yeah. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are kind of
think about
acting out saves in the studio. They've got their arms waving about.
Do you see what I mean?
Well up,
I know that.
No, I don't.
Everybody else can't, but at least you can. And it's maybe a wee bit too late. If you'd have known this last Thursday,
I think your
goalkeeper could have maybe saved you a sack.
12 minutes past six. That's how long we lasted, Mark Wilson. I thought he was going to go a bit easier on you, but honestly. Right, Ozzy is first up tonight. Ozzy's a Rangers fan. How important is tonight, Ozzy?
Yeah, tonight is massive for both clubs. And Gordon, I know you've made the point this week about how important these games are, you know, in terms of momentum. I think there was a caller yesterday, Brian, made a similar point as well. But I want to come at it from a slightly different angle. These games are massive for Rangers and Celtic because they're actually pretty damn lucrative, to be honest. If you win a group stage match, you get 570,000 euros. If you draw, you get 190,000 euros. If you end up winning the group, you get 1 million euros. And if you come second, you get 500,000 euros. So the point that I'm trying to make is that the money at stake here is absolutely pivotal, especially given the lack of match day revenue for both clubs right now. So when the rhetoric from the Celtic fans, and I think Hugh Keevans said something similar this week, has been that this game is not important. All that matters is the domestic game and a weekend in the league, etc. Utter nonsense. It's just deflection and delusion from the Celtic fans. These games are massive. Celtic released their accounts this week and they didn't make for pretty reading. Last season, they were hemorrhaging 400 grand a week. Without the sale of Tierney, they would have made a £24 million loss. So the point that I'm just making for every Celtic fan who's trying to kid themselves on...
To be fair, Ozzy, I'm no business expert, but you can't say if they didn't have the 25 million. Yeah. There's a saying in Glasgow, Ozzy, and I know you're not from these parts, about if my auntie had, etc., she would be my uncle. And I think that applies here a little bit.
The point that I'm making, that's a fair point, Gordon. I knew you were going to say that. That's a fair point. But what I'm getting at is that if they don't make the money from these games, it could be the difference between a player sale in January or, you know, bringing a player in. And, you look at the signing of Yanis Hadji. I don't think it would have been possible if Rangers didn't win the Europa League games they won last season. So I just want to say, any Celtic fan or, even also any Rangers fan who's trying to kid themselves on saying that these games don't matter, absolute nonsense. Mm. You could make 4 to 5 million in the Europa League group stage this year, which is going to be massive for both clubs.
Oh, for sure, Gordon. I think Ozzy's right in the sense that, of course, they're important financially. To put it in a bit of context, the winner of our Scottish Premiership gets about between three and three and a half million. So it's far more lucrative to qualify for Europe and do well than it even is to win the league in the first place. In fairness, on behalf of anyone who Ozzy's referencing earlier in the week, I think it's probably more along the lines of they don't see it as being as important as the domestic games. Not that they don't think it's important at all. But yeah, certainly on a financial basis, then...
Financially, it's very important. There's no doubt, and we can't argue that, because Ozzy just rhymed out the prize money there. And that's great revenue for any club, whether you're Celtic, Rangers, or whatever, especially with the times that we're going through with no supporters. But in the other way, in the football pitch, Gordon, it's not as important. Because every Celtic fan will tell you it's all about 10 in a row. I think every Rangers fan, as much as they're enjoying it and they're winning games and they look absolutely solid, everything about them's going great. It's about stopping Celtic 1-10 in a row. And if you can get a few quid in these games along
you,
the way,
you can, you can become a better team by performing in Europe, and that might allow you to get your domestic goals. So surely they're heavily linked.
I think it's all about confidence. For instance, right, Celtic, Rangers are full of confidence just now. Right, full of confidence, and I expect him to go and win this game at Ibrox tonight, and I expect him to go and do the usual performance and be comfortable and win it comfortable. But you look at Celtic tonight, if they can come out of here with anything, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people thinking, well, they might get hammered tonight. This is against a team that are sitting joint first in the French league, PSG, and the money that they've spent and the players that they've got. So Celtic are up against it. But if they can produce something tonight, that could give them the confidence going into the weekend against Aberdeen semi-final, get to the final, and then all of a sudden they're up and running.
Just before we go back to Aussie, Celtic have had the ball in the net. Mark, Albin Ayeti offside, I think it looked like a fairly easy decision for the assistant. But encouraging sign, Celtic doing not too badly at all. Having said that, Cham's now gone into the book alongside Duffy.
Yeah, it was a nice little move from Celtic. Lovely little through ball, and Ayeti is onto it, and he finishes well. But the Lille back line was pretty straightforward, and he was offside. But Celtic have, I thought they've started quite well. I thought Duffy just a few moments ago done what he should have done against Aberdeen, where the ball was over his shoulder, bounced, didn't try anything fancy, just hooked it away, and Scott Brown picked up in the midfield. So looking pretty solid, encouraging signs for Neil Lennon.
What about specifically tonight, Aussie? What are you thinking ahead of this game? We're now at the stage where I'd imagine Rangers fans go into these games extremely confident, which is not always easy to get to that place in European football.
Yeah, no, I'm extremely confident for the reasons you just mentioned. And I'm looking at the standard Liège game and the Lech Poznan games. That's four games. And I'm looking at it as £2 million of potential revenue. I think we should be getting maximum points from those games. Benfica are, obviously on another level to those teams, but no, we should be pumping Lech Poznan. This for me is a gimme. 570k euros at stake. We cannot afford to lose this game. It's massive. Full strength team out on the park, and we have to go for the jugular.
Yeah, like I say, Gordon, Rangers are in such form at the moment, and their European pedigree over the last couple of seasons in this competition allows you to be confident. Although Aussies, I think he used the phrase gimme in there.
There's no such a thing as a gimme
at that stage.
No, but I just think it's down to Aussie and everyone concerned at Rangers of the now about confidence, Gordon. I think that Rangers are riding so high with confidence, it's incredible. You know, even when Steven Gerrard makes those decisions to, change a team four or five changes, they still look the exact same. They play the exact same, everybody, competition for places. And they're in a good place just now. And they'll be enjoying the European games. And what it does as well is it allows you as a manager to, manage your team of your players getting fitness levels up. For instance, that's what we're talking tonight about Celtic. Celtic could use this tonight. If they keep in this game, they'll get such talent on the bench. And what's Neil Lennon keep saying? Well, they're not up to speed. This is a night they could get some time into players that are so important to them. So it could be positive.
I've got a lot of time for the fact that the Lille right back Mark Wilson is called Selick. I like that. I'm absolutely
quite a nice coincidence. Yeah,
delighted with that. Laxalt gets down the left, crosses too heavy, out for a throw in. 24 gone, 0-0 in France. Thank you to Aussie in London. It's 01419511025. We're going to hear from Steven Gerrard next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic have taken the lead in Lille. 29 minutes gone now. It was a couple of moments ago during the travel. Mohamed El-Younoussi, Ayeti started off the move, robbed the Lille defence, fed it to El-Younoussi. He had passing options on, but only one thing on his mind. 25 yards, curled it into the top corner to give Celtic the lead. And you have to say, Gordon, two things: they've been good for it, and what a stunning finish it was.
Brilliant finish. The pressure was very good, and they won the ball back, and El-Younoussi goes, and you're thinking, just pass it, you've got an opportunity. But he had every confidence, right foot, he knows what he's doing, The goalkeeper didn't even move. It was that good a strike. That's a fantastic start. 30 minutes into the game, 1-0 away from home. I've got to say, Gordon, I've been watching the game. The thing that's impressed me, and there's a long way to go, I'm not getting carried away for any Celtic fan here, I think the energy in the Celtic team looks a lot better tonight. I really do.
Yeah, what a goal it was. You know, they win the ball high up the pitch. I think Celtic are better at that when they press higher up the pitch and they get their rewards. You know, Ciro, you've got to say, he's running one and one with the centre half. He's got an easier ball onto Cham and he just chooses to ignore him. And to hit it for 20, 22, 25 yards, it's a hard skill, but he curls it in with his right foot in the top corner. Fantastic start from Celtic, and I think they deserve it.
Yeah, because Gordon, even in the moments leading up to that, Celtic had a couple of other good opportunities. El Yunusi again got into the box, squared it across Ayeti, put it over the bar. Ayeti then had a header underneath the bar. I think he ended up getting penalised for a push on that occasion, but the goal had been coming in a sense.
Yeah, I think they deserve to be in front, Gordon. The home side had a wee spell for a couple of minutes to put a bit of pressure on the Celtic defence, but Celtic dealt with it. You see the goal again, it's just the pressure on the defender. They win the ball back. El Yunusi,
it's a big boy Celtic.
It was Celtic. Celtic
gives it to Celtic, and El Yunusi, I've got to say, the goalkeeper, that's what, you know, you look at how good a strike it is. Goalkeeper doesn't move, and Mark says 22, 23 yards out. Great start.
You two would have saved it given some of the actions you were doing in here at the start of the show.
I'd have went with my long arm. Do you have a long arm?
A long arm.
Oh, your long arm.
Jeremy Frimpong pulls it back, and it's 2-0, and it's a second for Mohamed El Yunusi, and it's another very, very good finish, you have to say. 32 minutes gone, Lille 0, Celtic 2. Frimpong got down the right. He's done it a couple of times. Rather than putting it across the face, he sort of cut it back near the edge of the box, and first time on the right boot, always moving away from the goalie and into the corner. El Yunusi gets his second and Celtic's second, and all of a sudden it's looking rather easy, Gordon Dale.
Oh, it's Frimpong. He was quiet in the last few games. He's getting up and down. He's just, that's once again, El Yunusi knows what he's doing. He's come in for a bit of criticism, is it every? And that's why I thought Celtic tonight looked more, the energy about them, and what they've added to that is goals. What a confidence lift that must give you. That must give you some confidence booster, that. It really does. Now, the one thing they've got to do, Mark, is they're 32 minutes in, they're 2-0, they're in control of this game. Do not give anything away before halftime.
They look much more like themselves from last season, the way they were playing, the way they're moving the ball, keeping possession, and even there, you know, they win the ball high up the pitch again, they get to Frimpong. Frimpong, you know, being positive, he didn't come back the pitch like he did a lot against Aberdeen. He picks a pass, a good pass, but what a finish from El Yunusi. A reverse finish, run about the penalty spot, into the goalkeeper's bottom corner, gave him no chance. And it's, Gordon, I'll say it again, it's thoroughly deserved. Their shape's been good, but on the ball, in possession, very comfortable. And when they're going forward, they look like they can score at will here.
Yes, 33 and a half gone now. Lille 0, Celtic 2. A brilliant start to this game. Well, it's more than a start now, isn't it? We're well into it. But a brilliant opening half hour or so from Neil Lennon's side. Let's see what the remaining hour or so has in store. Let's bring in Chris on the phone line. Chris is a Rangers fan. Chris, are you as confident as your previous caller who called this game a gimme tonight?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
No, for me, I'm not that I'm not confident. I think that, you know, Rangers are playing so well just now, you can't have anything but a degree of confidence about you. But there's no such thing, as Gordon said, there's no such thing as a gimme in Europe, particularly at this level. I mean, I was listening to the show last night, and there was a caller come in and said that Rangers haven't had any proper tests in Europe yet. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, even if you take out the big household names that, you know, you've called out last night, Gordon, if you look at even teams like, you know, Maritimo, Legia Warsaw, tonight Lech Poznan, you know, they're not Real Madrid, Barcelona, but these are good sides. And, you know, considering that Rangers and Celtic are quite regularly given credit for going to grounds like Pittodrie, Easter Road, even Rugby Park, and getting results sometimes, and I think it's disrespectful to say Rangers haven't been tested in Europe. And I think our biggest enemy event tonight will be potentially complacency and overconfidence, but hopefully there's going to be none of that there.
I'm really fascinated to see how this game is going to play out tonight, because we had, well, we've got Chris on the phone at the moment, but another Christopher on Tuesday, Gordon, I think it was, when you were on the show, talking about Lech Poznan and giving us the sort of inside track on them, and Stephen Gerrard using very similar words to describe them. You know, a bit like a basketball team. It's just kind of end to end, just all out attack at times, which leaves them vulnerable at the back. Christopher on Tuesday told us they're not particularly good at the back, and it can leave the game very open. How will that suit Rangers or not?
I think Chris is right. I think Rangers, first and foremost, with the confidence and the form that they're getting into this game, they've got to be on the ball. You look at this game tonight, Lille, for instance, I think that 99% of the people would fancy the home team to have won this with the form that Celtic went over there with. And Celtic look by far the better team. So Rangers have really got to be on the front foot. They've got to be up and at it, and I'm sure the manager will be at them to keep the standards up. And if they do that, just listening to the lad on Tuesday about the two fullbacks like to get high up the pitch, the defence isn't that great, then if Rangers play to their potential tonight, they should win the game. But Chris is right, there's no gimmies in football, none at all.
Especially at this level, at group stage. Mark, whether this translates into a win tonight or not, I don't know. So the Rangers aren't going to go on and win every game between now and the end of time, but what you can say is that they do look, they always look pretty sure of their game plan at the moment. They never really look like they've been caught by surprise by the opposition or anything like that, even in Europe.
Look, I can't see anything other than a Rangers win tonight, and I'm not just saying that because it's like Poznan, and like Chris said, it isn't a Real Madrid or a big name, but purely because of the way Rangers have been playing, and even in Europe over the last couple of years, you could probably argue that their form's been even better than it has been domestically. So tonight, I think it's Steven Gerrard just needs to go out and tell his players it's much of the same. The way you've been playing in Europe the last couple of years, approach this game the way you did against a bigger name like Galatasaray, who didn't have the stars but still have the name. Rangers approached it the right way and they got the result, and it'll be the same again tonight. But they're in such a good place just now. When you're in that place, it's very hard to start being complacent. They look well drilled. They look, you know, everyone knows what their job is, and if they're not doing their job, they've got somebody on the bench to come on and do their job for them. I think that's a real driving factor behind Rangers this term.
Here goes Celtic again. Ryan Christie puts it into the box. El Yunusi's up again, going for a hat-trick inside the first half, but he headers it over the bar. I'll tell you what, Chris, hang on the line, because I think we've got breaking team news from Rangers. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, four changes for Steven Gerrard for this one. Out go Philip Hellander, Calvin Bassey, Ryan Jack and Jermaine Defoe. In come Leon Balogun, Borna Barisic, Scott Arfield and Kemar Roof after his wonder goal in the Europa League last week. So it's going to be Alan McGregor who starts in goal. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic. The midfield three will be Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Joe Aribo. And it will be Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent either side of Kemar Roof. In fact, Joe Aribo does not start. It's going to be a midfield three of Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Glenn Kamara in there with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent either side of Kemar Roof. The substitutes are McLaughlin, Bassey, Hellander, Jack, Itten, Zungu, Patterson, Aribo, Morelos, Barker, Stewart and Barjonas.
Ah, there we are. Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. A few changes for Rangers. But I suppose that would be the other thing, Chris, about Rangers at the moment. Every time Rangers make three or four changes, it's kind of shrug of the shoulder stuff because it's all guys that have played recently and do similar jobs, and you never really seem to notice, do you?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking as it was read out there. It's like, that's fine. You know, whatever team's coming out just now, you feel confident that they can get a result. I don't know if you want to call that one out just now, Gordon, the other game.
See, I'm glad you're here to keep me on my toes. Shane Duffy's given away a penalty. Gordon Dalziel was talking about not giving anything away before half time. Celtic so comfortable within the game, 2-1 up. I wonder if it was harsh.
That's harsh. That's what? Never a penalty kick.
It's beyond harsh. I mean, Shane Duffy, he's out. Has he gave a penalty kick or a free kick here?
He's given a penalty.
It's a yard outside the box. My goodness.
Hold on, two things. Is it inside the box?
No.
Is it a foul?
No. I mean, that is incredible. That sums up kind of Shane Duffy's luck at the minute, if you want, where every mistake he's making is resulting in a goal. That's not even a mistake. He's won the ball and he's outside the box and the referees gave a penalty. Incredible decision.
I was waiting for him to book him as well and then send him off because he's already won a yellow, isn't he?
And this is going to be a big blow to Celtic because if it goes in, because they've been very comfortable in the game. They faced two penalties at Pittodrie on Sunday. They're going to face another one. Scott Bain saves it. It's a terrible penalty, you have to say. Well, that's not to take anything away from Scott Bain. Any save is a good save. He went one way, managed to keep his kind of hand in the middle because it went down the centre. And is that justice, Mark?
Oh,
is that the way?
Of course. You, I mean, it's a credit to Scott Bain. You know, it's a big couple of games for him to prove that he should be the number one, and he's doing his chances. No harm there, but yeah, you'd have to say that that was justice because it certainly wasn't a penalty kick.
£27 million Lille signed Jonathan David for in the summer. I don't think he's scored yet, and had a glorious chance to do so there. He puts the penalty down the middle. Bain, is it? Does it come off Bain's leg?
Yeah.
In the end, Gordon.
Yeah, it's his leg.
That's a good save.
Yeah, it is a good save. I've got to say, I think it's justice because it didn't look a penalty kick for me, and I think Celtic have played very, very well, and well done to Scott Bain. He's there to make the big saves, and he's achieved that. So that's a warning. You can't slip up. You can't just switch off because you're right.
Slip up though, did it?
No, but
it's a terrible decision.
But the ball goes into that area that allows Duffy to go. And I agree, Mark. It wasn't a penalty kick for me. But you've just got to keep that concentration levels up.
But good to see it again. The more you see it.
Do you think it is?
I don't know. I would just like to see it a few more
the
times.
The trailing leg or something, Gordon.
Anyway,
maybe we're missing.
Chris, as you were saying, on you go.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying, you know, you look at any team that comes out just now, you think they're confident in doing a job. From the selection tonight, the only slight surprise for me, despite his goal last week, is that Roos starts, just purely because he's not really, you know, had a lot of football. You might think he could come on later in the game, maybe start with Morelos, who I know he's come under a bit of criticism in terms of lack of goals and things, but everything else he's doing, his link-up play and getting involved in play is still there. So I thought they might have started with Morelos up front with Roof coming on later, but, you know, happy either way, and it looks a strong team.
Yeah, Roof set the bar pretty high last week, Mark. Good luck following that. Yeah. I'm sure Steven Gerrard would settle for a tap-in.
Yeah, of course. But the positives for Rangers and Steven Gerrard is that he's got these four strikers now. So if Morelos isn't scoring goals, he's contributing to the team, but he's not scoring goals. He replaces him with Defoe at the weekend, who scores. But of course, tonight Defoe's not there, so he can opt for a Roof, who started the season, remember, as number one striker. So you know, he's got three quality strikers in Eton to kind of back up a fortunate position to be in.
Yeah, I was trying to gently persuade you on Saturday, Gordon, that Alfredo Morelos wouldn't start the game on Sunday, but you weren't listening as usual. That was fine. Is this now a chance, do you think, for Kamar Roof, because this is him getting back up to speed? Is this a chance for him to really nail down that position?
I don't think he'll really nail down it, because if you look at Morelos's performances, Gordon, I think he's been a big part of it. I know that you can look at his goals.
I'm not saying he's not, but he was. Oh, and Scott Bain's now made a mistake and it hits the bar. What an end to the half it's been. Let one slip and then it comes off the crossbar with the falling effort. No, I'm not saying he's been bad, but he was left out of the weekend. Defoe comes in and scores, and Defoe's not in the Europa League squad. If Roof comes in and does particularly well tonight, surely it's a chance for him to stay in the team.
Well, I think it's an opportunity for every player that comes in and got to stake a claim to stay in the team. I don't think it'll be a case of if Roof comes in tonight and plays, you know, as well as he can be, that all of a sudden he becomes the number one striker. I just think that Steven Gerrard's keeping everyone on his toes.
Yeah.
He changed it with Defoe, can't play tonight, obviously. Roof had a fantastic goal over in Belgium. Morelos, and I know people are saying, well, he's not the same because he's not scored, but the part he's playing as a team player, I think, is so important to Rangers.
What's your own view, Chris, on Rangers' attacking options at the moment then?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a lot of attacking options, and the most pleasing thing is not the number of, you know, good strikers we've got, but the fact we've got goals come from absolutely everywhere. I can't remember exactly, but we've got 13 different goal scorers or something so far this season. So, you know, we've got goals from midfield, and obviously we've got a number of good strikers there. So overall, you know, the whole team looks extremely pleasing just now, and we just need to keep the momentum going, I think.
Yeah, again, I don't think there's much in it, Mark, because Leon Balogun's not really done anything wrong since he came in. Philippe Hlandal has been particularly good recently.
Yeah,
but again, a chance now for Balogun to show that he can.
And it's probably similar to the centre forward position. Steven Gerrard doesn't seem to have any nailed on preference. Well, the only one is Goldson, who plays every game, but again, a good position for a manager to be in, that you've got two centre halves willing to kind of rotate but do the same job when they come in. So either one of them look a safe bet at the minute.
Chris, it was a pleasure to speak to you. We are going to have to leave it there. We're a bit pushed for time, but hopefully we'll catch up with you soon. That was Chris in Dumbarton. It is half time in France. Celtic leading by 2-0 at the break. Celtic fans, this is the perfect time to tell us, what did you make of that first half? We'll take your calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time, Lille 0, Celtic 2. What a half of football it has been. Mohamed El Younoussi put Celtic in front in style, 25 yards out, curled one into the top corner. He made it 2 soon after. Celtic had had a number of chances up until that point. Frimpong squared it across. El Younoussi with another tidy finish to make it 2. Still time for drama at the other end. Shane Duffy gave away a penalty. A bit of debate amongst the guys about whether it was in or outside the box, whether it was a foul at all. Doesn't really matter now, because Scott Bain saved the spot kick, and that means at the break Celtic have a 2-0 lead. And after a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, Mark Wilson, with a lot of criticism towards Celtic, yeah, a lot of negativity, it was an excellent first half.
It was really impressive. I don't think there's many people that can have too many complaints about that first half. I thought first and foremost defensively they were solid in the opening minutes, and then they started to grow into it. You've seen how confident they were on the ball, and they worked it into forward areas quite well. It created a few opportunities. Then you had a Yeti's offside goal. It was a nice wee move, and they built on that. You could just see them getting more confident. The goals were brilliant. El Younoussi sometimes takes a moment of brilliance, and just that confidence from him to take that shot on, I thought was terrific. And then to follow up, what a finish. Frimpong much more positive, you know, playing it, the ball into El Younoussi's feet in the penalty spot, but he's still got a lot to do. And what a finish. Wee bit, you know, a wee bit shaking the closing few minutes, right enough, but still they've seen it out and got the wee bit of luck with Scott Bain saving the penalty, and I think they thoroughly deserve to be in the lead here.
Celtic fans, what did you make of that first half? Let us know right now. 0141 951 1025. I know you can't call and watch the game at the same time, some of you, but it's half time, no excuse. Get your thoughts in. Let us know how you felt the first half went. Gordon, I can't imagine there will be anything other than delight amongst the Celtic fans so far.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot expecting the performance, Gordon, and the 2-goal lead. Neil Lennon will be in that dressing room. He'll be over the moon with the way things are going. But he'll be telling his players that they've just got to make sure it's only half time. Long way still to go. Don't give them anything, any encouragement whatsoever. Keep playing the way they're playing. And if they can come out of here tonight with a real positive result, the confidence that would give them would be incredible.
Let's speak to Brian, who's a Celtic fan. How would you sum that first 45 minutes up, Brian?
Best of the season. Best, absolute best 45 of the season. I even take that into any even minutes, because, I mean, as a Celtic supporter all my life, I don't adhere to small parts of the season will determine your whole season. If we're having our blip, we've had blips before in the seasons where we've won 9 in a row, and I think this is, I would really rather address Celtic fans on this rather than, because you know, outside influences, Rangers fans, pundits, media, I find the whole thing, you know, that people who are neutral don't want Celtic to win the league every year, and that's understandable. I don't particularly want Rangers to win a game of tiddlywinks, but right now Rangers are the benchmark at that first quarter, that first run of the season, of the games, and they've done really excellent. And anybody says any different is wrong. But Celtic are a team full of winners. Celtic are a team full of guys who have made the finish line 9 times in a row. They've won cup competitions. They've got a manager whose passion is greater. Now, I'm going to ask a question, because this is something that I wanted to ask the other night there, but I'm going to ask it to you guys. At what point does a manager who's won everything come up with a poll? Now, I know it wasn't in your show. It's a media poll. Should Neil Lennon get the sack? And this poll running in a national media. At what point in the 6 trophies or so that Gerrard has failed to win did they have this poll, should Gerrard get sacked? It didn't happen. So disparity isn't the same. And I know that Neil Lennon won leagues, won cups as a football player. He won our heart as a Celtic player, as a Celtic supporter. So this is where I'm going to go with my point. Is two Celtic supporters, look at tonight. Look at the first 45 minutes. We've had a really hard time. And we're 3 points behind if we win the game in hand. And I know ifs and ands, that doesn't really come into it. But we will be judged in May, as we are every season. Neil Lennon will be judged on his success or failure in May. Not this first 10 games, 11 games. When
so Brian, you've not been concerned at all since the start of the season. And what happened against Rangers, last week against Aberdeen, games before that, you've not been concerned about players' performances or anything like that, no?
Gordon, I have been concerned all my life being a Celtic supporter. Yes, mm-hmm. I was concerned about the game that we played against Rangers, mm-hmm. but it was the exact same kind of game to me that happened to us on the 29th of December.
Yeah, but Brian, my point is, the lead up to this is, you've come on tonight, we're now nearly in November, right? And the games that Celtic have played in Europe, in the Cup, in the League, and you're saying tonight, for 45 minutes, that's the best performance of the season. So you must have been concerned, like every other Celtic fan. So you can't really have a go at Celtic fans for coming on, and because this is a massive season for Celtic. You know that as much as it is for Rangers. And to add to it, Rangers are looking very good, very confident, not losing goals. Their squad looks very strong. So I can, as much as I know what you're saying about Celtic and how you get behind, will be judged in May. I think every Celtic fan's got a right to be concerned if that was the situation.
The thing about that phrase is, Brian, and I know where you're coming from, you know, judged in May, but it's a bit broad, isn't it? Because well before May, teams, and I won't even make this specific to Celtic, but teams can get knocked out of cup competitions, can go on losing runs, can fall numerous points behind their rivals. So there might be a point before May, good or bad, that the managers can be judged.
No, my point is that it's not about me being concerned about Celtic's dip in form from the beginning of the season and the European, as Mr. Keevans will say, a disaster. We have no right to win any game if we don't possess the abilities and the strengths that we overcome our opponents. We haven't reached the standards that we have set ourselves. So my point is that if we are 3 points behind and we're playing as bad as we are, and tonight, take tonight out of the equation, because I'm a happy Celt right now, 2-0 up against a great Lille side. If we've reached a point at the worst point of your dip, and we're having, and every team has them. I managed 5-year-olds to 20-year-olds. And every season we had like that little spell. Any manager will tell you yourself, Gordon, you had a lot of dips when you're in management material. Mm-hmm. Does that dip, and does what Neil Lennon's achieved so far, is it equatable to put him in the sling and his bum out the window?
I think it's a question, Brian, mostly for your fellow Celtic fans who've been bombarding this show all week.
Mm-hmm. I think
I can't answer it. Yeah,
if there's any manager knows about dips, then I think Mark's the right man to answer this question.
I got two games and then I was at the door. But Brian, what you know when you're saying about the poll, and I agree with you, totally agree with you about the poll. I think it was ridiculous, whatever, however it came out. But with the media get the feeling from the Celtic fans on social media.
Put it this way, I can only speak on behalf of this show, right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't pretend to do anything else. The only time we've discussed Neil Lennon potentially being sacked is when it's been brought up by a caller. Yeah. We have not brought it up once, not even close.
And in terms of the newspaper poll, they only get that because they look through social media and they see the Celtic fans, you know, complaining about them. So, you know, it's the Celtic fans that have to take a look at that. I agree with you.
But much better tonight. Whilst we're here, go on, give us the positive side.
Well, the positives tonight is they look much more like themselves. They look much more like the Celtic of last season. They look more fluid in possession. They look comfortable in possession. And defensively, they look solid. Apart from Duffy giving away the penalty, which was never a penalty, I thought they've looked pretty sound. So, yeah, lots of positives.
Don't worry, Gordon. I know you were trying to go easy on him, so I think we've got a nice way of just dealing with the elephant in the room and not making it too painful. We've got some poetry from your favourite poet, Curious Creatures. He's on. He says,
right, okay.
I can't believe they let him go. His best was yet to come. The shock of the announcement has surely left him numb. The mushroom must look forward and be ready when he's called, because I've heard they need a gaffer down at Aldi's Cumbernauld.
That's brilliant. That's one of his best ones.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Every cloud, we'll see you in here on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. But before we worry about that, it is Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball, and maybe you could make Mark Wilson's tough week even tougher, or you could ruin Gordon DL's week as well. 01419511025. Get your call in before 7 o'clock. Beat the Pundit's next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. Celtic are still 2 goals to the good, but they've got some defending to do, and it looks like they've suffered an injury blow. Christopher Ayer has limped off. He's clutching his groin. Near Beaton, I think, is going to replace him. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's do this first, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And indeed, that change has taken place. Christopher Ayer off. Doesn't look too pleased. He's struggling. He was holding his groin as he went over and chased a ball into the corner. And Near Beaton, he's been out, of course, after a coronavirus scare, so he is on to replace Christopher Ayer. Let's play Beat the Pundit, though. Mark and Gordon are both standing by. One of them will be taking on James from King's Park. How's it going, James?
Hi, all right, Gordon. How are you doing? You well?
Not bad at all. Now, I don't mean to scare you, James, but we had a caller, I think it was last night or the night before, said he's never played before and he was worried about the pressure getting to him, and I think the pressure got to him and he panicked a wee bit. So tell me you're going to keep a cool, composed head on this tonight.
Oh no, I'm firmly in that camp for
good.
Last night, definitely.
Good. Oh no, you'll be fine. Honestly,
that's what we like to hear, James.
Mark Wilson's played this about 200 times and his face goes as red as the Lille jersey when he plays, so you'll be absolutely fine. Gordon DL, I don't know what he's doing. He looks a bit distracted over there. It would be nice if
Who are you texting?
It would be nice if he would give us his attention. Are we interrupting something?
No, well, I'm listening to James.
Good, alright, that would be great. If you could just pay attention, that would be much appreciated. Sorry if it's a hassle for you though. A real inconvenience. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads. It's Mark Wilson.
Oh, is it me again?
It is. Okay. I mean, James, he's a bit fragile this week. Go easy on him, will you?
No. Can he take another blow, Jim?
See if you beat him tonight, James. We might sack him as well.
Never.
He could beat two jobs in 4 days.
It takes more than two Beat the Pundit defeats to get you sacked from here. Trust me, you're absolutely fine. Anyway, right. I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. You can get away from Gordon DL's abuse for a couple of minutes. Right, James, 30 seconds on the clock. It's so simple, or at least it should be. Answer as many questions right as you can, and if you don't know it, the secret is just say pass quickly, and that way we get through as many questions as we can. All right?
Cool.
Top man, James in King's Park, your chance to beat the pundit coming up. 30 seconds starts now. Name the Portuguese side in Rangers Europa League group.
Benfica.
Who scored for Celtic against AC Milan last Thursday?
El Yunus.
In what decade did Aberdeen last win the Scottish Cup?
70s.
Eden Hazard left Lille for which side?
Chelsea.
Which team has the worst goal difference in the Scottish Premiership this season?
St Mirren.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Craig Gordon or David Marshall?
David Marshall.
Which side won the last Scottish Cup final between Hibs and Hearts?
Hearts.
Okay. Yeah, it's alright, I'll accept that. Let's bring back Mark Wilson. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah, yeah.
Well done, James.
The worst bit of it, this whole experience is the music and seeing your facials. You know, you reading the question and him going, you know, smiling.
Good one tonight.
I know you two take this seriously. I take it equally seriously. There's not much I can do. I'm just reading questions, but I try my best to sort of hide behind the mic so that you can't read my lips. Because sometimes
good thinking,
sometimes I think the pundits might be able to to get a steer on the question.
You'd need to be desperate for that. After hearing James's answer, you don't need to hear him.
Is he hopeless? Has he?
Brilliant.
Has he? Go on.
James
then.
Is all right, by the
way.
Yeah,
James is
we'll see. Quiet, right, yeah. Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds starts now. Name the Portuguese side in Rangers Europa League group.
Benfica.
Who scored for Celtic against AC Milan last Thursday?
El Yunusi.
In what decade did Aberdeen last win the Scottish Cup?
90s.
Eden Hazard left Lille for which side?
Chelsea.
Which team has the worst goal difference in the Scottish Premiership?
Hamlin.
Who has more Scotland caps, Craig Gordon or David Marshall?
Craig Gordon.
Which side won the last Scottish Cup final between Hibs and Hearts?
Hearts.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident with that there.
Yeah.
James, what do you think?
I think we only got two answers different.
Do you know what, James? I thought you were pretty good. I thought you were pretty confident and you knew your stuff. But Mark sounded confident there. No. He's had more time on his hands this week to study, to be fair. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Right, name the Portuguese side in Rangers Europa League group. It's Benfica, 1-1. Who scored for Celtic against AC Milan last week? Who scores all of Celtic's goals, apparently, in the Europa League this season? It's Mohamed El Yunusi, 2-2. In what decade did Aberdeen last win the Scottish Cup? I'm afraid it was the 90s, James. Was that a guess?
It was a
no,
guess.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
1990.
You can see your face.
1990.
It.
Nose, yes, yeah. There you go. Can't guess that,
good
can
guess.
You?
Good guess.
Rangers.
Was Celtic.
Celtic. I knew it was one of the Glasgow teams.
Penalties.
That's it.
Oh, aye.
So there can't be many that have gone to penalties. Hearts, Gretna. That would maybe be
I can't remember that game. 1990.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you just got the answer.
So yes. Mark goes one in front. Eden Hazard left Lille for Chelsea. You both got it. Mark stays one up. Which team has the worst goal difference in the Premiership? Losing four for Park at the weekend might help. Ross County.
Ross County, yeah. Is it?
Minus 13. None of you got that. So it's still one to Mark. A lot of it's going to come down to this, James, because the last two you had a 50-50 chance. Who's got more Scotland caps, Craig Gordon or David Marshall? Mark went for Craig Gordon and you went for David Marshall, James. Oh. So this is it. It's all really going to come down
on,
to
Marshall.
This. David Marshall's got 39.
Yes.
Craig Gordon.
Get more.
54.
Oh, easy. That's not even close,
James. Because you both knew it was Hearts on the last question, but I'm afraid he's pipped you by two. Do you know what, James? That was not bad at all. That was a four for you, which on another night might have been enough, but it was a six.
Yeah, against a lesser pundit, it would have been enough, but you came across one of the top.
Yeah, you were on fire tonight.
Aye.
Hard luck, James. Will you give it another go sometime?
I will do it, Gordon. Cheers.
Good man. It was pretty painless in the end, but a defeat nevertheless. Thank you very much to James in Kings Park. There we go.
Another
you feeling
victory.
A bit better about yourself?
I feel good about myself.
I don't like to see you when you're down.
That's one victory. Aye, one victory
and
this week.
The ego's a bit bruised. Yeah. We'll look after you.
Good victory.
You'll look after me. You will look after me, Gordon.
Good victory in 1 year.
2020, first victory.
No, I must admit, I'll be honest. On Monday morning, or whenever it was it Tuesday morning, Monday morning, I kind of realised that he has probably taken it too far on this show in recent seasons, because I was getting inundated with tweets, right, along the lines of, ha ha ha, can't wait for Thursday night, DL's going to rip Wilson apart. And I thought, this is a guy that's just lost his job, and we have created this environment.
Hi.
So I actually did feel, I felt pretty bad on Monday.
Thanks, mate, thanks. Because you wouldn't do that to somebody that's lost their job at Asda. And
no, you wouldn't, exactly.
I know,
see, you wouldn't.
Imagine losing your job at Asda.
See, be fair, I think you'd have been better at breaking Asda. I don't know if they've got an Asda, but you would probably still be there by now.
You're a clown.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not as much a clown as you. Two games into the new season.
Exactly. Scandalous decision.
Well, hold
what
on
sort
a
of
minute.
Club gets rid of a manager after
I'll
two
tell you
games?
What
a
kind
club
of
that
club.
Doesn't know what they're doing.
No, a club that actually knows the road they're going down, let's be honest about it, right? He doesn't sign me, Davey. Right?
That is true. That
big,
is true.
Big
was that a turning point?
Big, Davey could
have
been
the
main
man. He's lost Big Jet to Livingston, right? And he comes out with this nonsense, two games in. How long have you been there?
Nah. I know it's easy.
Coronavirus hit us hard.
To have a bit of fun.
He's giving me tattoos and wins.
If a club's getting rid of a manager, if a club's getting rid of a manager after two games.
Aye, build a new team.
I'd be asking
hold
serious
on a minute.
Questions.
Who was doing all the tactics in the morning at 7:30?
You.
Exactly. I was going to help him out.
You know, this is the truth.
What was he doing?
So Monday morning, right, 7:30 in the morning, he texts me. It's alarming to receive a text from him at any time. Half seven on a Monday morning, he texted me with a screen, with his screen in front of him, and he's watching the Brechin highlights from the weekend.
Oh, were you?
And he he's saying to me, don't worry. He says, I'm analysing this game. I'm going to get him on the right track. By 10 o'clock that night, with the bullet, it works quickly, this guy.
Exactly. That's why I didn't bring in number two. I wouldn't have even got two games.
I was devastated for you.
Ah, well.
You got to the playoffs when I brought you in at Airdrie, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Nah, anyway, come on. We're here for you.
It's a roller coaster of football. You know, football management, you're never in the job long again.
No. Listen, learn from it. It's an experience.
01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Celtic, we've passed the hour mark in Lille and they're still doing pretty well. Still two goals to the good. Mohamed El Younoussi's double in the first half. Scott Bain saved a penalty. When you have this lead, Mark, a two goal cushion with 30 minutes to go, Is there a difficult balance to be found between not wanting to retreat too early but not wanting to commit too much?
Yeah,
I mean, Celtic, they look like they're doing pretty well at it at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're just playing the exact same way as they did the first half. You know, nice and confident in defence, but there is spaces there against this Lille team when Celtic win the ball back. El Younoussi had a carbon copy of the chance probably about 5 minutes ago that he scored away from outside the box, chose the wrong option. But every time they win the ball back, Celtic, it looks like they've got the players to go and grab a third, but it's just about keeping the door locked at the back.
And don't forget, Celtic forced into that change. This might have a knock-on effect, certainly for the weekend, you would imagine, and possibly going forward. Christopher Ayer looked like he'd hurt his groin near Beaton coming on.
There's no way this guy's 27 million.
Do you
up
know
front
something?
From
Jonathan David.
You just took the words. Is that who was 27 million?
The boy just there.
Jesus, look him. Honestly. He wouldn't even
describe him.
He missed the penalty as well. You can't just say look him.
Look him. Everybody's at the tranny. What's
everybody's sending your TV then out. Look at him. 27 million quid. Where's he from, Gordon?
It was Ghent, I think. One of the Belgian sides. Ghent, always get them mixed up with the one letter difference.
Doesn't he look fit
to me?
What it is, Eddie's coming off now.
He's getting the old hook.
Oh,
he looks knackered, doesn't he?
He's like, a mushroom still at Brechin.
That could be Davy.
That's Davy.
Hold on, we've seen where Davy went. Ah, there you are. Good on him.
Double change for Lille as they look to get themselves back into this game. I was just looking at we've already brought you the Rangers team quite some time ago. The Lech Poznan team, Mark, not too many household names apart from the skipper.
Yeah.
An old teammate of yours, Thomas Ronje.
Great guy, Thomas. Good player.
Odson Edouard's long awaited Celtic return is now. Albin Ayeti goes off. He gets booked in his way off for taking too long. he looks pretty annoyed. He set up the first goal.
He's certainly not happy.
Odson Edouard comes on. Right. Back to Thomas Ronje, then we'll discuss Odson Edouard in a second.
Thomas Ronje, I mean, came in young player at the club at the time when I was there, but still played a significant amount of first team games, played in some big games as well, but very composed, very intelligent guy. No surprise to see he's a skipper like Poznan because he's won at Leeds by example. I liked him a lot, got on well with him. And I think his problem at Celtic was that injuries just kept holding him back. You know, he would get in the team, then he would pick up a wee niggling injury and it would take him a while to get back. But I'm glad to see he's doing well and playing still at this high level. And he's a good one. He knows the league. He's played at Ibrox. I'm pretty sure he's played at Ibrox before, so he knows what to expect. And
he'll be empty tonight, right?
He'll be empty, but he'll enjoy the game and I'm glad to see him still at this level.
And quickly, Gordon, because I want to bring in John and Motherwell on the phone, just how welcome a sight is that for Celtic fans to see Odson Edouard on the field?
Yeah, listen, he's a top quality player. I know his form hasn't been great, Gordon, but getting him back is a massive boost for Celtic, especially with the games coming up. So Neil Lennon, as I say, 65 minutes on the clock, get some minutes into his legs, get him going again, get that sharpness. And I like the fact that Ayeti walked off of there. He was really disappointed. I thought he'd done very well tonight as a lone striker.
And just another sign of some of the options that Lille have got. They've also brought on Renato Sanchez. Now I know that he didn't quite or hasn't quite fulfilled the potential he had when he was young, but still 21 Portugal caps, you know, 40 odd Bayern Munich appearances, clearly quite a pedigree. Right, let's bring in John in Motherwell. John, we're getting a bit closer to kick off now, about 40 minutes or so to go. How confident or otherwise are you?
I'm quietly confident. Obviously, the way Rangers have been playing lately, obviously keeping a good defensive record as well. And obviously, with tonight's game being at Ibrox, Rangers, we've seen so many. When Rangers have had their last couple of European campaigns, I've seen a lot of big names gone there that have kind of, you would think, oh, well, would be happy with a draw. I know when you tend to go away from home, that you tend to think if you're going to be against the likes of Porto and that, you would say, right, if we can get a draw, then that's a good result. But I think when Rangers have been drawn against a lot of big teams, I think Rangers are probably thought, you know what, if we get a draw here, this would be a good result.
Hold that thought just for a second, John. Lille have scored, and that's going to set up an awfully nervy last 25 minutes. It's a long time to go. It was a set piece over to the back post. Scott Bain, dismayed. He's run off Ryan Christie at the back post. The initial flick on Scott Brown, making it clear that Ryan Christie was on his heels there, and it's bundled in at the back post. Sloppy.
Yeah, not the goal you want to lose. You know, they haven't cut you open. It's not a moment of genius.
Who scored?
It's big Celtic at the back post. It's big Celtic at the back post. But Ryan Christie, if he's marking that zonal area, he needs to know.
A chance to make up for it, Ryan Christie. Just one touch too many. My apologies. He stands up, Edward's going to win the header, and it's a free kick. Why on earth does he not take that shot?
Now, if you've scored one in the top corner
and another one in the bottom corner,
yeah, I mean, you take that on all day long, and he delays it, and the chance is gone. So it beats me. It opens up the goal so wide, and he ends up forcing himself wide.
It's not even that. The first one, yous are all going, even he takes the second touch, he can stall. And then he takes another touch.
Yeah,
but it was a good move from Celtic, yeah. But they will be so disappointed. Yeah. Ryan Christie, for the player he is, I know he's not an out and out defender, but do your job, switch on.
Anyway, sorry, John was in full flow there talking about being quietly confident, Mark, and some of the other teams. I know football's not this simple, but you know, I'll say it anyway. Rangers' confidence surely comes from the fact that Lech Poznan, as dangerous as they may be, are way down the list when you compare them to teams that Rangers have beaten in Europe in the last two seasons.
Yeah, without a doubt. So Rangers take confidence from that right away. Now, you don't want to get complacent at all. That's the old cliche saying, you know, don't get complacent and we'll be fine. And that is true. The confidence Rangers are playing with at the minute, and their good results to match that, I think should be far and away enough to see them through tonight. Lech Poznan will come and create a challenge, if you like, but it won't be the challenges that Rangers have faced at Ibrox in previous years with some of the big names that they've seen off in this competition. So Steven Gerrard, I mean, doesn't need me to say, will be hugely disappointed if Rangers, I think, don't get 3 points tonight.
Yeah.
You know, a point may be satisfied in Europe, but 3 points, by the way they're playing, is surely not out of their grasp.
John, are you happy enough with the team selection tonight?
Listening to one of the previous callers, I know he was saying about he'd mentioned about Morelos missing out the night, and obviously Roof's back in. I kind of echo that. I'm quite surprised, obviously, with the lack of game time that Roof's had. Obviously, he's made a couple of appearances off the bench. It remains to be seen how many minutes he gets in. I guess he'll probably not play the full 90 since he's not actually had a full 90 since he's came back from injury. I'd probably imagine that Morelos will probably get a good half an hour tonight since he missed out at the weekend. I think obviously Gerrard, you can clearly tell anyway, he's had a wee bit of a dip in form lately, and I think Gerrard's probably thought, well, do you know what, I think it's time you kind of sat out and we see what somebody else has got to offer as a kind of, not a warning to him, but to let him know you need to stay on your toes because you've got other people in your position that are vying to be in that position.
Yeah, that's part of it, Mark. We kind of touched on Alfredo Morelos' situation. Celtic are defending for their lives here after having broken up the pitch. I just feel like we've not seen enough of Kemal Roof yet, because he came in and he was getting up to speed, then he got injured, and as good as last week's goal was, that's not the type of thing you're going to do every week.
No,
so
I know.
Whether it is an extended run or not, it'll be interesting to see how he fits into that team on a prolonged basis if we see him.
Yeah, the one thing Steven Gerrard knows is that he's a goal scorer. That's why he was brought to the club. And when he started and he got in the side at the early part of the season, he did score, you know, a few scrappy goals, but nevertheless, it's what you want your main striker to do. And obviously he falls out through injury, but he comes back, he scores a totally different goal, but he still scores. So Steven Gerrard knows he can rely on him to grab goals, and that's what you want for your frontman. So if Morelos isn't scoring goals, I don't think it's that hard a decision to turn to your bench and go, well, I've got Defoe who's scoring goals, I've got Roof, I know can score goals. And that, I think that's why he's in tonight. I think Steven Gerrard backs him in the penalty box to get Rangers goals, regardless of his contribution outside the box. I think he knows Roof will get on the score sheet more often than not.
Top man John, hopefully we'll speak to you again soon. Give us a call back sometime. Celtic defending again. I think it's going to go out for a goal kick this time. But Gordon, he still looked dangerous on the break. And Odson Edouard had broken up before that, that kind of previous couple of phases of play had broken up. Laxalt was alongside him. He tried to just thread it to Laxalt, and it was just too far for him.
Yeah, they've gone a bit deeper, Gordon. Obviously, a little bit of pressure on them now. The home side's taking such confidence from that goal. But you're right, Celtic can still get something here, especially the movement of Edouard. You've got El Yunusi, it's looking for that hat-trick. You know, I just worry, don't push... Me, personally, I wouldn't be pushing the two full-backs high up the pitch. I'm just looking at Frimpong, Laxalt. They tend to... They're so... forward thinking. The minute Celtic get the ball, they think, get high up the pitch. That leaves space in behind. And obviously with the pace of Ayer missing now, you know, through injury, Gordon, I think Celtic just need to be compact, make it hard for them. And I think there's still a chance in this for Celtic.
Mark Wilson's still recovering from the fact that El Yunusi didn't take that shot on a couple of minutes
incredible,
ago.
It was incredible.
Anyway, right, thanks again to John. Get a good full-time teaser for you coming up next. It's a cracker. Get your pen and paper, I think you'll like it.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Lille have equalised in France. It was all going so well for Celtic. A 2-0 half-time lead, comfortable creating chances, and they have created chances after the break as well. But we told you about the first goal not so long before the break, and now they are level. Mark, you can always point fingers at Celtic. I'm sure Neil Lennon will identify loads of things that his team could have done better. There was also, I suppose, an element of misfortune about it. It fell kindly for Lille inside the box. But again, Celtic can always do more.
There's no doubt they've invited a whole load of pressure onto them. And sometimes that's what happens. You know, the wide guy kind of miscues the cross. It falls kindly for the midfielder who sclaffs his shot, and then it falls for the striker who then puts it in the back of net. But there's no doubt about it. It's a big 15 minutes now for these Celtic players because it's backs against the wall.
Gordon, it's kind of the type of goal you lose when you're not in a good place. Mm-hmm. See, when things are not going your way, those are the types of goals you end up conceding.
It's a scrappy goal, Gordon, but they're inviting pressure on. I said earlier, they started getting deeper and deeper, and I can understand they've got a two-goal lead. They lose a real bad, they could be in trouble here. They lose a bad goal. Then they go for a confident team to a team that looks like they're lacking confidence, and they're chasing, they're not, you know, they're getting the run around. They just need to settle, try and settle down. That El Yunusi chance that we're all talking about, that could come back to bite them, Gordon.
Really, and you have to say, Mark, with 77 minutes on the clock, a point would be good for Celtic at this stage, just the way the game's panning out.
You wouldn't have said that. I mean, 15, 20 minutes ago, you would have said, you know, Celtic are well in the ascendancy. They look like they can score another, but just now, I think Neil Lennon will be sitting there thinking, you know, a point against a team that's joint top in France isn't a bad result. It's a long time. I've been there before. You're getting battered and you need to dig in. I don't know, I still think there's one chance in this for Celtic to grab a third. It's just about being clinical, and El Yunusi wasn't about 5 minutes ago, and it's cost him.
It seems strange criticising a guy that scored twice, but he's into the box again, and this time he takes it on, and it's saved. A good opportunity.
What a game it is.
He takes on the shots that he shouldn't.
I don't know. Yeah, but listen, that's what happens in football sometimes. It's okay.
It's a bit open now. You look at this now.
Very open. I don't think this will suit Neil Lennon at all, because Celtic are now defending again. Lille surely going to try and put this one into the box. They just work it back across. There's that man Renato Sanchez who's come on. He's found a teammate, or they're stringing it across the edge of the box.
Ah, good tackle.
Brilliant tackle. Diego lacks out. Right, what about tonight's teaser? We're looking for, and this is an extension of last night's question really, we're looking for the first signing made by each of the last five Celtic and Rangers managers.
Say again.
Wow.
First signing made.
The first signing made by each of the last five Celtic and Rangers managers.
Right, so let's get a manager. So right, Neil Lennon twice. Brendan Rodgers.
Twice Neil Lennon, yeah.
Well, once though, because you can only make a first signing once.
Ah, but I thought you could.
No.
No, right, okay. Neil Lennon's first signing was Ball and Golly. I just made that up.
No, that's obviously going to be from the first spell, isn't
it? Same round.
What's that?
I think he's time travelled.
Right, that's where I was trying to get to. Right, understand now. I can't remember. You'll know that better than me, Neil. Neil.
Neil, that's a Mark. Mark.
Mark and Neil.
This is difficult, this question.
Right, hold on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Greedy and Duffy last night had the harder version and they scooshed it.
Did they?
They had Souness and gentlemen. Smith and Wim Janssen,
right,
and all them.
Steven Gerrard's first signing. Come on, that must be easy.
Who?
I'm saying it must be easy.
Who was it?
It wasn't McGregor.
Stephen Davis.
Tavernier was
Ismail Barisic. Ismail Soro is coming on for Celtic for the captain. Scott Brown, 10 minutes to go. Lille 2, Celtic 2.
Wonder if he's got Barisic. Scott Brown there.
Not Barisic.
Oh, somebody run about there.
What do you mean?
Gresda.
No.
Oh, this is hard then. Neil Lennon.
I thought you'd have got Neil Lennon's first signing.
Why? Because I was there.
Yes.
Stephen Gerrard.
2010. I must admit, the Celtic ones are. I mean, again, what about Brendan Rodgers? I think that's quite easy.
Scott
as well.
Scott Sinclair.
No.
Scott Sinclair, Brendan Rodgers will be an English.
No.
Not be Scottish. No, I'll be in Norwegian. I'll be.
Come on.
Big De Vries.
This is poor. No.
This is
poor.
Really poor. Tom Rogic is on.
No, I never seen
as
that.
As well for Celtic. Replaces Ryan Christie.
Edward. No, it wasn't Edward. Dembele.
Dembele. Yes. Brendan Rodgers' first Celtic signing was Moussa Dembele. What about Neil Lennon's, Ronnie Dyla's, Tony Mowbray's, Gordon Strachan's? Mark, you were there for three of these. Surely. No, you wouldn't have been there for Strachan's first.
Gordon Strachan's first signing. Was it Telfer?
No.
What? Oh, he likes that. He likes that. He likes that, Mark.
Zarafsky?
No.
Oh, he doesn't like that one.
That's miles away.
Hot. Cold.
Telfer.
Right, who's the Steven Gerrard?
Adam Virgo.
No.
Boric.
No. You two are hopeless.
Nakamura. No.
Arfield.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Your favourite. How do you not get that?
Stephen Gerrard's first signing.
Posted up in your wall.
Scott Arfield. So you've got four more Celtic ones to get. Four more Rangers ones to get.
That'll be good.
I don't hold out much hope.
Mowbray. Nguemo.
No.
He had a few.
I think Mowbray's is
Fortuna.
Yes. Well done.
Aye.
Well done, Mark.
Fortuna. There we go. We're off and running.
And how's this for a seamless transition? I think I saw SPL Stats on Twitter tweeting earlier that he was the last player to score a double for Celtic in Europe before
Fortuna.
Before El Yunusi.
Was he?
Something along those lines.
What game was that?
I'll look it up anyway. It
was Rapid Vienna or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Was it? Mm-hmm. I think I was playing that
game. We need to look at
in group stage.
Yep. Yeah. I think we're done 3-0 after Warburton, 17 minutes.
Who did he sign? Did he sign?
Warburton.
Who did he sign?
Warburton's is. I don't want to confuse
Tavernier,
things.
Didn't you know?
I don't know why Warburton's is hard. I just. I'd forgotten. I don't know. I just not one I associated
is
with.
Is he still there, Gordon?
No.
No. Certainly wasn't Joey Barton, that's for sure. Who else is there then? You've got McCall?
No, Murty, Cashinha, Warburton and McCoist.
McCoist?
You won't get McCoist, that's the
Kevin
hardest.
Kevin Kell?
No. What about Pedro? Think of that era, that should be easy.
Pena?
It wasn't, no.
Herrera?
No.
The other one? Portuguese? Alves?
Yes. Bruno Alves. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got 3 of 10. Just quickly before we speak to Thomas and Isco.
Four.
Have you got four?
Dembele,
yeah, sorry,
Arfield,
yeah.
Fortune and Alves.
Just before we bring in Thomas and Isco Bride, a couple of changes there, Mark. I was doing a couple of things at once. I saw Tom Rogic come on. Stephen Welsh came on.
No? Oh, did I miss that one?
Okay. Yeah, Welsh come on, yeah.
Sorrow as well for Scott Brown.
Welsh for Encham. So Celtic
going to back five, five. Gordon, by the looks of it, yeah, they're going to try and just hang on for this.
Well, Neil got a wee bit of criticism up at after the game at Pittodrie of his changes, bringing Turnbull on for Rogic, and I think we had someone on the phone lines on Sunday saying, well, they wouldn't have done that, and they would have brought on a Sorrow or a Welsh to show the game up. Well, he certainly went down that route today. There's no doubt about it. It's a change of system. More defensive, trying to put bodies in the box, and obviously trying to get out of here with a point.
This is where being a manager is tough, Gordon, because Mark's right, people were calling for him to make more defensive changes, but sometimes when you do it, you end up retreating too much and inviting pressure on you. So a big 6+ minutes for Celtic coming up.
Yeah, he certainly, you can't fault him for tonight in the sense that, okay, people say, well, you should have made the changes at 2-1, but you look at 2-1, Celtic probably had a terrific chance to put the game to bed, El Yunusi. He's now looked at it 2-2 away from home. He would have taken that all day long. He'll be disappointed, of course he would be, and that's why he's went with the five. Me personally, I just was getting concerned about, I know Frimpong, he's on the ball and out, loves to go forward, lacks Alden the other side, loves, but in a back four when you get caught, all of a sudden you get hit with a counter attack. Celtic just need to be careful. I think the big turning point in the back for Celtic was Aya. I really do.
Yeah. Let's bring in Thomas, who is in East Kilbride. What's on your mind tonight, Thomas?
Hi, Gordon. Gordon and Mark.
You alright?
Hi. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not worried about the Rangers team tonight. I actually think that even with Morelos on the bench, we've got enough team players in form to do the job tonight. I think that what the guy said earlier in the week about the centre backs of Lech Poznan, I think there'll be a high scoring game tonight. I could see a few goals.
Yeah, Gordon, Rangers have tended to suit European football, or European football's tended to suit Rangers very well. Interesting to see how that plays out tonight against a team that, by all accounts, is just going to come and really go for it and aren't particularly good at the back.
You wonder if they will, Gordon, because obviously they'll have done their homework with Rangers. And if you come there to Rangers and you say, right, I'm going to play my two fullbacks high up, we're not particularly good at the back, I don't think you're really a good coach. You know, I'd be very surprised if you come to Rangers, a team that's in form, with the players that they've got, middle to front, and the two fullbacks, the way they go forward, and you play right attacking, open football. Well, I think that would suit Rangers down to a T, and I think Rangers would just cut them open, and there's enough firepower there for Rangers to win the game comfortably. So I would be surprised if they come tonight and as open
Celtic
as
Celtic have got a 3-on-1 here. El Yunusi's involved. Frimpong, Laxalt, it's just
down.
And they've taken the sting right out of it. That is really poor from Mohamed El Yunusi. Yeah.
He receives the ball, you know, with the full kind of inside left channel with nobody ahead of him to run into, and he takes his first touch back into the trouble and the chance is gone. But by the way, the boy Laxalt isn't shy in getting forward, is he? I mean, we're 87 minutes in, a counter attack, and he was the furthest one up the field there.
Yeah, Thomas, just thinking about the next couple of days for Rangers, if we can allow ourselves to look that far ahead, the chance to go onto 6 points after two games in the Europa League and then potentially go further ahead of Celtic at the weekend, albeit that would, you know, increase Celtic's games in hand, but it could be a big couple of days psychologically.
Yeah, as long as the players can through the game tonight, that's a bonus. But I actually think Sunday's the bigger game. Away to Kilmarnock's never easy.
That's an interesting one, the bigger game.
Well, in the context of the season, I mean, Rangers have shown in recent seasons how good they are in Europe, and I dare say their fans would love another night at Ibrox and they get 6 points. But in the whole context, what Rangers are trying to achieve, you know, in terms of their first league win over, you know, under Steven Gerrard, and to stop 10 in a row, yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, going to Kilmarnock and dropping points after all your good work you've done, you know, it's a backward step, and it just gives Celtic and their fans a lift. So yeah, I would tend to agree with that Sunday's game is huge.
I think that the last three games at Kilmarnock, Rugby Park, it's been 2-1, but we've lost twice 2-1 and we've won 2-1. So it's a place where it sort of gets into our heads for some reason. I don't know why, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Gordon. It could be a marker, if you like, or a sign of how improved Rangers actually are, if they can go there and be really comfortable, because it's not something you tend to do going down there, as Celtic found out earlier this season.
Yeah, the two grounds that you tend to, everybody talks about, that difficult is going to Kilmarnock and Livingston. And the common denominator is the pitch, Gordon, obviously. I know that Hamilton have got the same, but Kilmarnock are well organised and they're playing very well. They've got some good players. They're midfield, you know, that'll go and work as hard as anyone. They've got good experience. It will be a difficult game, but Rangers are just now are in a situation, one game at a time. They've got a hard game tonight. You'd expect them to win it. They get down there, and I totally agree. I think Sunday's game is far more important. It's all about the league this year for both teams.
Go on then, Thomas. Leave us with a score prediction for tonight.
Tonight, I think Rangers will win 3-1.
There we go. He's confident. I don't mind that at all. A slip from Shane Duffy allows Lille to come forward, but Callum McGregor and Stephen Welsh between them managed to clear up. Thomas is confident. 3-1, was it?
3-1, yeah.
Right, okay, don't mind that. Right, Thomas, thanks again. That was Thomas and East Kilbride. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon, Thomas. Right, you're looking for Neil Lennon's first signing, Ronnie Dyla's, Gordon Strachan's, Graham Murty's, Mark Warburton's and Ali McCoist's as Jeremy Frimpong fires over. 5 minutes added on.
I've got a couple of names. Is Jason Holt one? No.
No.
Right. Tell me, there's a Ali McCoist signed an Australian.
No.
Mackay?
No, no, no. Oh,
Charlie,
no.
Mulgrew for Neil Lennon's.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Marky boy.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie Dyla's, anyone? No. Gordon Strachan's.
Strachan's for
sale. Was Ronnie Dyla's lad the winger?
No,
it wasn't.
Who?
A winger. I was just trying to get a bit of information, Mark.
Five to get. We'll get them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It looks like it will be a point in Lille for Celtic. I'm sure Celtic fans, Neil Lennon, the players would have absolutely taken that before the game, but they were 2-0 up and they were comfortable. And it's been quite a roller coaster this evening. About 30 seconds left to go. Right, on tonight's teaser, we're looking for the first signing made by each of the last five Celtic and Rangers managers. You've got Neil Lennon's, Charlie Mulgrew, Brendan Rodgers was Moussa Dembele, Tony Mowbray was Marc-Antoine Fortuny. As for Rangers, Scott Arfield was Gerrard's first signing and Bruno Alves was Pedro's first signing. Any more?
Yeah, we've went down McCoist. I thought it was Mackay, the Australian, but it's a Spaniard. Ortiz. Is it Ortiz?
That is the shout of the month from you.
Great
shout, Juan Manuel Ortiz.
Good shout. I didn't know if it was Mackay in the left or Ortiz in the right.
I don't think anyone's ever referred to him as an outside right, because it's not 1964. But
well, right side,
he's a player. He's there anyway.
Yeah, winger.
All over in France. Yep. I'm going to go for the guy who I replaced at left back, Mo Kamara.
For Gordon Strachan.
For Gordon, yes. Strachan. Yeah, good
well
old
done.
Mo.
It is full time in Lille. It's finished Lille 2 Celtic 2. What a game it was. Celtic were 2-0 up thanks to a brilliant double, you have to say, from Mohamed El Younoussi. The first one long range, the second one in the box, created by Jeremy Frimpong. Lille had a golden chance to get one back just before the break. A potentially soft penalty given against Shane Duffy. Scott Bain saved it. Celtic took the 2-0 lead into the break, came out, looked pretty comfortable, but then a quick fire double, if you like, two goals in the space of 12 minutes pulled Lille level. There was backs to the wall defending at times, but Celtic had chances. Mohamed El Younoussi in particular, as good as he was, some of his decision making, Mark, will have frustrated the life out of Neil Lennon. How do you sum this up then? Because before the game, you're taking that all day long.
Yeah, I think Neil Lennon and his team go away with huge positives for that. I think that's a good result. Now, I know Celtic fans may think, well, we're 2-0 up, how could you say that? But you're forgetting you're playing against a top side here, joint top of the French League, and Celtic deserved to be 2-0 up at half-time. You were always going to come under pressure, and when they did and Lille scored, you know, Celtic had a wee wobble. Neil then changed it after it went 2-2 and went defensive again. But you've got to say, even in the second half when Celtic were under the cosh, they still looked to get forward. They still created chances. El Younoussi probably could have added to his double. I think Neil will be happy with his team. I think he'll want them more resolute, less fragile, is the word of the week. But I think overall, a positive night for Celtic against Lille.
Gordon?
Terrific. I know that people will say, how can you say that? You go away from home. under the pressure that Neil Lennon's under just now against a team that's well fancied to tuck you away, Gordon. And let's be honest, a lot of people thought this would be a very difficult night for Celtic. I thought, terrific. I really do. I think Neil Lennon will be over the moon with that. It's something now they can take into the semi-final. I thought there was a lot of good performance. I thought the fact that Ayer went off injured made a massive difference. Celtic seemed to go deeper.
But the crucial goal, Gordon, the one that pegs Celtic back, the equalising goal, if you like. We said it at the time, that is the type of goal that you concede when things aren't going your way. Three miss kicks from the from the Lille players and it ends up in the back of net. The cross is a miss kick, the initial shot's a miss kick, and I think the finish is as well. But, you know, they all count. That's not to make excuses. It's just a sign sometimes of...
It's just the way things are going for Celtic, Gordon. But as much as... If you're a Celtic fan or Neil Lennon, you're thinking, oh, we were 2-0 up there. But the game's never finished at 2-0, especially when you're away from home. The quality they've got, all they needed was that goal to give them a little bit more energy, a bit more confidence, and they got it. And then they got a scrap equaliser. But in the scheme of things, when you look at that tomorrow morning, I think that's a terrific result for Celtic tonight. I really do.
Standout performers.
Well, El Yunusi obviously for his goal.
Goals.
I thought Ayer did well. I thought Frimpong looked a lot more lively. I've got to say, I like the boy Laxalt, even though
he runs all over the place.
Even though in the last few minutes he was caught high up the pitch, but I do think he gives you plenty of enthusiasm. I do think there's plenty of positives. Callum McGregor, I thought, back to his nearer his best, you know, plugging holes again. So a lot of positives. And again, Edward gets on, gets a wee bit of time on the pitch again, and that'll give Neil Lennon some options for Sunday. But as Daz says, I think when they look at that game overall, they would have seen there was chances to score, you know, opportunities to score further goals. And I think he even takes the positives that when Leo did score the second, that they held it. They looked solid. You know, even though Leo were piling on pressure, they put the boy Welsh on. It looked a solid unit and they seen the game out. And again, Celtic would have taken a point, I'm pretty sure, after the tough week that they've had.
Yeah, I thought it was... You were always going to come under pressure, Gordon. They're a quality side. They're not sitting there joint top of the French league if they're not. They've spent a lot of money.
They were in the Champions League group stages last season. I know they didn't do particularly well when they got there, but that's the calibre.
Take the 2-0 lead away from this. I think that is a terrific performance away from home from Celtic tonight. I really do. And I'll tell you how it's a terrific performance, because some people will be disappointed they didn't win the game. Now, before the game, everybody was probably expecting Celtic for a tough night. I think Neil Lennon will be really proud of these players tonight.
Mohamed El Yunusi is the main man, Mark. He scored two fantastic goals. Like I say, we maybe a little bit saw the best and the worst of him in the second half, just because he had a few chances to get a third or to create a third for his teammates and chose the wrong option.
Yeah.
But you still got to be happy with his contribution.
It was almost like he played his first half and second halves in reverse, because sometimes when you get a chance to shoot and goal, you hesitate and then you think, oh, I should have shot. Then the next time it comes, you go, I'll try it this time. You put it in the top corner. It was the opposite. He gets one chance in the first half, it just goes for it, it goes in the top bin. Then his finish is great. Then the second half, you're thinking, well, you've already done it. You've already done the hard bit in the first half. Just follow suit. And he hesitates and he loses a chance. Then another one, he chooses the wrong option. So it was quite a strange performance, but I still think much better from El Yunusi. I think he was one of the ones that was a question mark. Was he given enough? I know he scores against Milan, but apart from that, does he give enough? I thought tonight he showed much, much better, much closer to the, what was that, 14, 15 million quid transfer fee that's on his head.
I thought he was terrific, yeah, Mark. I honestly thought he was terrific. Okay, we can pick holes in it by saying, well, he should have shot quicker. But one, he gets his cell into positions. He scored two goals away from home. I thought his work rate was very, very good. I thought El Yunusi was terrific tonight.
Yeah, Charlie's on Twitter. He says, great result overall. Would have taken it pre-match, although frustrating to lose a two-goal lead. Just get our form sorted domestically. We'll have nothing to worry about. Mark Swanson calls it a great result as well. What else have we got on there? Lots of usual bickering and absolute nonsense, to be quite honest, but that's fine. Gandalf says, great result, just out of luck with Big Ayer getting injured. Don't forget kickoff for Rangers against Lech Poznan, 8 o'clock. So we'll have all the post-match reaction to that one on tomorrow night's show from 6. You've got more work to do on this teaser though. We're looking for Ronnie Dyla's first signing, Graham Murty's first signing, Mark Warburton's first signing.
Can we have some clues, Gordon?
What about Dyla's?
Dyla, come on.
Turned out to be a you know, a good signing for him. And
Armstrong.
No,
Mackay Stephen.
No,
he wasn't a good and signing.
Played under Rodgers as well afterwards. Now plays for Hearts.
Oh, Craig Gordon.
There's your obvious clue.
What's that?
Yeah, Craig Gordon.
Oh, I'd never get that.
Yeah,
that. Right, okay, Mark Warburton's. I know what you're thinking, all your typical Warburton signing, Rob Kiernan, Martin Waghorn, Dominic Ball. It's none of them.
Yeah, obviously you wouldn't have told us that.
He's Scottish.
Halliday?
No, he's no longer there.
Position?
Centre back.
Danny Wilson?
Yes.
Well,
that's
that
a tough
is
one, isn't it? Do you agree with me? I can't explain why I think that's tough, but I just do.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got
spell. I'll just kind of forget.
I'll tell you what, I think he Googled it. Got to.
Nah,
I never got that.
I told you he was a Scottish centre back.
So many of them, is there?
Right, quickly then. Graham Murty's.
We're never getting this. I said Jason Cummins. No.
Nichols.
DJ.
Oh, I know who it is.
No, it's not Big Derek.
I know who it is.
Do you?
Yeah,
yeah,
I gave you the initials.
He was actually a good player, actually. But he, where is he now?
Who? Hurry up.
The wee DJ.
Who's DJ?
I don't want to rock DJ.
Who's DJ? I still don't know.
Declan John.
Declan John. There we go. That was tough. Mark Wilson's face.
Declan John. I can't remember.
Is that the face you pulled at 10 o'clock on Monday night when you got that phone call?
That was worse than that.
Something
trust
like that.
Me.
Right. Aye. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. Good point for Celtic in Lille. Let's see what Rangers can do. We'll look back on it all at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell will be here. We'd love for you to join us. Callum Gallagher's up next.